You are listening to the Good Day Wellness Podcast, a podcast dedicated to boosting your mood. I am your host, Melissa Fedeli, and I'm here to support you on the way to calming your mind and nourishing all aspects of your life. Together, we can bridge the connection between body and mind and make every day a good day. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I am joined by a beautiful friend of mine, Angelica Hazel, who I actually studied with. Now, she is also a clinical nutritionist, and she specializes in women's health and fertility. Angelica's life was turned upside down when she received her breast cancer diagnosis. She has been an absolute warrior through every stage of her diagnosis and is one of the strongest, most positive people I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. Today, she is here to share her story with us all so we can learn about her approaches that she took to pave the way to her recovery. Her inspiring story is sure to motivate you and remind you of the importance of taking your health seriously. So let's get into it.
Thanks, love. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. It's going to be a beautiful episode with your positive energy. I can't wait. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty stuff, I want to know what is one thing you do every single day to boost your mood.
Okay, one thing I do, I guess I would start with the night before. So if I'm not sleeping well, I'm not starting my day right. So prioritizing sleep is key. And the other thing I do is often I've got two daughters, they will jump into bed with me in the sometimes earlier than I would like, but we have morning snuggles and I love it. So,
yeah. Oh, so beautiful. Sleep. I always say sleep is like the cornerstone to everything. Without good sleep, you really struggle to function as a normal human. So I love that you've brought that up.
And it sounds like, you know, pretty basic and not very sexy, but yeah, it makes all the difference.
You know what? I love that you've said it's not sexy, because I actually had another nutritionist on the show last week and, well, a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And basically every single health professional, they will tell you that it's the non-sexy stuff that actually changes your life. And it's a pattern that I've noticed with every single health professional that I've talked about. And I hope people can take that on, because Instagram can make health very sexy and show you all these fads, but really it's the boring stuff that does the trick.
100%. And we all go to sleep, right? We might as well, exactly, you know, focus on doing it well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you for your mood boosting tip. So you have a pretty extraordinary story and have had a real roller coaster ride in terms of your health battles. So can you take us back and share with us what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's nearly been a year since my diagnosis, which is actually pretty crazy. So to rewind, I was breastfeeding my youngest daughter. I just got to the 2-year mark and she bit me and I got mastitis, and I was going to the doctor the first time. You know, I had antibiotics and the fluiness went away and all of that. But then in the months leading, the months post that, my nipple didn't heal. So I remember I was literally putting band-aids over my nipple because it felt red raw and was just so painful. And I just knew something wasn't right. Yeah. And so in the process, I did see a doctor and they sent me to get an ultrasound. Remember getting the ultrasound? She was like, oh, it's not cancer, it's fine, don't stress. So I was like, okay, it's fine. And then I had my first day working at my dream job, Women's Health Plus, the gynecology clinic. I'm safe to say that I'm back at. And I had a little consult with one of the doctors and I said, can you look at my nipple, please? Like, can we book in? And she had a look and she goes, oh, that could be nipple cancer. She was like, it could be a simple infection or it could be cancer. And I was like, okay. So I got the results back the following week and it wasn't an infection. So, you know, spirals of fear and everything. So she referred me to a specialist, and the specialist wasn't actually too concerned. She was like, look, you're pretty young, should be fine. We'll just see, you know, it looks like it's healing, all of the things. Anyway, it was a random Wednesday. I was going for coffee with a girlfriend and I said, okay, I just got to see my specialist. We'll just, you know, pull past. It'll be fun. And as soon as I saw the specialist, I mentioned that I had found a lump, and that was pretty much everything was accelerated. She was like, okay, we're going to send you, because it was, she was practicing from a hospital, Western Hospital, something down your way. Yeah. And she was like, all right, you're going to get a biopsy now. And that was so stressful. So I got a core biopsy and a lymph node biopsy. And I just remember I was hysterical because I just wasn't prepped for what was, well, for the pain and everything. And I had this beautiful nurse holding my hand who I later found out she'd just gone through breast cancer. But that's a whole other side story. It was like, it was, I literally couldn't believe like how beautiful and supportive she was. And I found her in a breast cancer group later. And she was like, I don't know if you remember me. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that was really crazy. But basically, either the next day, I got a phone call from the surgeon, and she was like, we've got the results back already, and it's cancer. And she was shocked. She was so shocked. And I remember it was the Thursday before Easter Friday. So the next step was, she was like, okay, I got a phone call from her assistant, and she said, can you actually come in for an MRI now into the city? And I was like, yep, okay. Hadn't told anyone. My father-in-law was home. I was like, Baba, I got cancer. And he's just did not know what to say. He's not good in those situations. So, you know, drove myself to get an MRI. Had no idea, like, you know, we learned about MRIs and stuff at uni, but I wasn't prepped for what was going to happen. And basically, you're injected with this like radioactive dye, and you have to go into this super small claustrophobic space that is really loud. And I remember they tried to put this heavy magnet thing on my back, and I was like, nah, like, get this thing off my back. Because you're in there for like maybe 20 minutes, maybe longer. I can't remember. But I just remember everything that's like going through my head is kind of like, I have cancer. How do I tell my husband? What about my daughters? Like all of this stuff. And like, I'm pretty resilient person. So I'm like literally just gearing myself up to telling my husband and being like, we've got this, whatever it is, like, you know. So that was pretty horrific. And, you know, came home, told him all of the things. And then the worst week of my life was the staging week. So because there was a bit of a lag because of, you know, Easter public holidays, I had to wait a whole week for, I think it was longer, to actually find out, to speak to someone properly. So when they know, like when your biopsy results are cancer, the staging process means, you know, you've got to get a bone scan, you've got to get a CT scan, you've got to do all of these things. So that way, when you meet with the oncologist or surgeon, they can say, all right, this is where it's at. This is how bad it is. This is how progressive, and give you all of that. So I had that. Worst week of my life, because I'm very type A. I'm very positive. I'm very much like, okay, this is the problem. What's the solution? Let's focus on that. But when you don't know how bad the problem is, it's very difficult. Mm. Met with the oncologist. This was my first oncologist. She wasn't my person. So she was just straight away, she was like, she's like, look, the cancer's not anywhere else. And my husband and I looked at each other, we're like, thank God, like, you know, like, that's amazing. But she was not like, so this is bad and this is good. She was literally all doom and gloom. And she was saying things like, you know, we're going to start chemo straight away. You're going to get a chemo port in. You have a high chance of getting leukemia from the treatment. We'll probably take your ovaries. All of this stuff, which I felt was a little bit unnecessary at that stage. And just pushing for all of this stuff. Pushing, all because she wrongfully assumed that I had genetic issues. And she didn't really like me either, because she would say that and I'd say, okay, so if I do chemo, she's like, what do you mean if? And I was like, I'm not the sort of person you can scare me into making a decision. Like, I'm not into making fear-based decisions, and I'm pretty stubborn and fiery. Like, I don't like being told what to do. So I was like, I'm sitting in the office, you know, they're trying to take my full power away. I was like, the only thing that I have still is my ability to advocate for myself. So I walked away from that appointment, and I remember I literally wanted to crawl up into a hole and die. And that was the only day throughout my entire cancer journey that I felt like that. I let myself wallow a little bit, and then the next day I picked myself up and I was like, nah, you know, like, this is a choice. I've got kids. I've got a husband. I love my life. Like, let's do this. So I was very fortunate that my mother-in-law, her husband's ex-wife was a breast cancer nurse, and she recommended me to this amazing surgeon. And my mother-in-law was like, just meet her, see what you think. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't really looking for another surgeon, but I met her. And, you know, as she met me in the waiting room, and she goes, hi, my name's Bev. I'm going to look after you. And she gave me a hug. And I just knew. I just instantly was like, okay, this is what I want. And her total approach was different. She was just like, okay, this is, what do you know? Really, like, respectful.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just a total different experience. And, you know, like, for me, I feel like you need to get my buy-in. You're not just going to tell me what we're going to do. I need it to be explained to me, and, you know, these are the whys. Otherwise, I just put my back up. Sorry.
Such a vulnerable position, such a vulnerable situation, something that you probably never thought you'd ever have to experience. So, you know, when someone meets you halfway and I guess they show you kindness.
Yeah.
I feel like, of course, that's what you need in that moment. Of course you want someone to sit with you and talk you through it rather than tell you this is what you need to do, which, you know, I guess everyone's different in those situations, and it's very hard for me to comment and make a judgment. But, you know, you are just like, hearing you, I'm trying to hold back tears because I'm like, that was amazing. You gave yourself one day to feel sad, and then you were like, I love my life. I'm going to do this. So you're incredible. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, love. It was, it hasn't been an easy journey, but I don't know. I kind of just knew from that point, like, okay, this is the why I'm doing it. She basically said, I'm going to call my oncologist. I want you to meet him. If you don't like him, that's fine. We'll just give it a go. I met him the next day. He was beautiful. He like came in early, and I just felt that same level of like respect. And straight from the get-go, they were like, okay, it's pretty bad. I was stage 3 HER2 positive. So what? Not your basic bitch breast cancer, a little bit more challenging. So that means I also had some cancer in my right lymph node. For me, I was just thinking, I was like, okay, I've got some choices to make. The train is kind of in the station. I know, you know, like how the lymphatic system works. I was just like, all right, well, this is what it is. From the start, they were talking about curing me, not extending my life. So I just decided to trust it. Yeah. And then from there, I had surgery the next week to put in the chemo port.
Yeah.
And then I started chemo pretty much straight away.
Wow. Can you just for context, are you able to share with everyone how old you are?
Oh, yeah. I was 33 when I was diagnosed.
Yeah. It's just, I think giving it that age, you know, growing up, we all just think that this stuff doesn't happen to young people, you know, that you never think it's going to touch you, that it's something that happens to older people. And I think just sharing your age and sharing that struggle, just, yeah, it's insane. It's crazy. How did you come to the conclusion that, okay, I really need to get checked, like, this is serious? Because, you know, going back to the age thing, I think as young women, we never think we need to get anything checked. We don't need to check our breasts. We don't need to do these kind of things. Like, we're good. Maybe we're just feeling flat. So I know I do that. 100% I do that. And, you know, I never think anything's like, I just think it might be I'm fatigued or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how did you come to the conclusion? Like, did you feel it in your gut that something was off? Like, what really was it?
I guess. So the first doctor I saw, she literally just wanted to give me antibiotics after antibiotics. And I was like, no, like, that's not what we're going to do. And, you know, people are more motivated by pain than pleasure. Mm. So I was uncomfortable. I was sick of band-aiding my nipple and I just wanted answers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I definitely didn't think it would be kept. Like, that wasn't even a thought because I had the initial ultrasound and she was like, no, you're good. Like, don't stress. It wasn't a thought, but I was just – like, I need to look after myself. So I just needed to know.
Yeah. It's just, this whole situation is just, it just gives me the chills and your mental, like your mental resilience to even talking about it. You can just tell how strong and resilient you are as a person, and hats off to you. Honestly, you are incredible. And I think if anything, what this podcast is really going to do is share with young women like myself, like others, to trust your gut a little bit, get a second opinion, and look for signs as well. You know, if you don't feel like something's right, if there's pain, there's this, get a second opinion, because I'm sure if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be in the position you are today. Maybe things would have been a lot worse.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think it's really important to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Trust your gut. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what has your treatment actually involved? Like, obviously chemo, but were there other more holistic practices that you kind of undertook? And do you think any of them helped and the collective kind of helped? Like, talk us through your treatment process.
Okay. So I did two forms of chemotherapy. I did radiation. I did surgery. What else did I do? I still get infusion, which from a chemo-like drug, every 3 weeks. I think I'll be finished in June because of the type of cancer that I had. But for me, I was like, all right, there's lots of, like with any health situation, there's lots of things outside of my control, mm-hmm. and I can choose to focus on that, or I can do what I know, and that is starting with food. So, you know, diet was a big thing. I joined an exercise program specific for breast cancer.
Yeah, wow.
And that was really, really good because there's good evidence on breast cancer, exercise to help with chemotherapy.
Oh, can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like? Because I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so in the US, some hospitals, they will have a gym or an exercise physiology clinic,
yep.
and they will send patients for chemo, and then they'll send them to go get exercise.
Oh.
And it's the last thing that you feel like doing after chemo, but you do feel better when you do it. So the program that I did, it was in the city at Calvary, and you have to be referred there to a by an oncologist,
mm-hmm.
and you need an appointment with a psychologist. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and she was like, okay, so who referred you? And I was like, I referred me. Like, mm-hmm. I know exercise is good. And she was like, people don't do that. Like, you know, normally her role is to convince people and all mm-hmm. of that stuff. And I was like, she was like, wow, you are very type A. I was like, yeah, like, you know, let's do this. And I was the youngest person by far. It was lots of women in their, you know, 50s and 60s, yeah. if not older. But basically you would do an hour exercise class and it would be fully supervised by a physio. And then you would do a meditation session, which was led by a psychologist. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love it. The power of movement and mindfulness, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was a big part of it. Supplements, just being really careful with like the people I surround myself with. Even now it's really easy for people to say things and it influences you or gets you down. And I'm very much like, I'm pretty bulletproof, but like if someone doesn't bring me joy or zaps my energy, like yalla bye, like I don't want to. Yeah,
I think the people we surround ourselves with, that has such an influence on literally every single aspect of your life. If someone is sucking the life out of you and is taking away the joy in your life, they're just not meant to be there. Get rid of them because they're not doing you any favors. And especially when life throws you curveballs, if you don't have people who are in your corner, who are on your team, who are lifting you up, encouraging you, it just makes things 10 times harder. So I love that you brought that up. Yeah.
Oh, I did acupuncture. I wanted to give a shout out to the amazing Tracy Gravis from JAB. She held me throughout my whole, she's still holding me. I still see her. And she was just like such an integral part of my healing journey. And like faith. I've got strong faith in God. I know, you know, not everyone does, but that was something that really helped me because I knew that, you know, if it was up to me, we're getting through this, but I knew that it was, you know, up to someone, up to God. So, yeah, I guess let go of my need to control it. And if I'm meant to get through it, I was meant to get through it. I'll put in what I can and, yeah, just be at peace with whatever happens. So
amazing. You are incredible. So in terms of nutrition, what does this look like for you? I think, you know, someone on my side, on the outside, who has never experienced it before, it's easy for someone like me to say, oh, you should eat this and you should have that. And, you know, but I obviously understand that when you are going through those treatments such as chemo and you're pumping your body with, you know, these chemicals, you probably don't want to eat a lot of the time. Your appetite probably goes through big changes. So, you know, I think this point, I guess, is for other women who may be in the same boat as you. You know, you understand the importance of nutrition, and I'm sure you had to push through those barriers. So what are some tips, nutrition tips, that you can give to other women in that same position, and how can nutrition really support them?
Okay, so I guess I would clarify that not all cancers are the same. So I've had friends that have had Hodgkin's lymphomas or non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and for them and for lots of cancer patients, like a big issue is lack of appetite, and, you know, like they'd get really thin. So often a strategy with that is like you need to make sure you're eating a certain amount. With breast cancer, basically because they give you steroids because of this specific chemo that I had, which is called the Red Devil, they give you steroids and they give you stuff so you're not so sick, and they basically said, I'll probably get fat, I'll get really puffy, and I was like, I'm gonna show you. I didn't. But my kind of strategy was I would fast on my chemo days and I would fast on the day before. So there is some research on fasting. And I would, what else would I do? I was just really focused on, you know, colorful fruits and veg, lots of antioxidants. I was specific with including things like, you know, food is medicine, things like turkey tail, medicinal mushrooms, really good for supporting the immune system as well. But there is evidence for that specific mushroom for breast cancer, same with oyster mushrooms. I don't like to label like I went keto or anything like that. That's not because I think when you put yourself in a food label like that, it just feels, you feel restricted. But I cut out sugar. The sugars that I did have were natural sugars, so from fruit and vegetables. But yeah, I guess I would count more nutrients than I would count calories. And yeah, I just focused on filling my plate with real foods. Prior to my cancer everything, mumbo jumbo, I was doing my own program called Metabolic Balance, which I didn't create it. It was created by doctors and nutrition scientists in Germany. But I had, before I got cancer, I had released 10 kilos. I've got Hashimoto's as well, so that is quite a feat. My thyroid was balanced from that, and I honestly credit that as a reason I fared so well throughout the treatment, because I was in pretty good health. One of the routines on that program is 3 meals a day, you fast in between, so it was pretty easy for me to just carry that on. And I guess just being gentle with myself, because when you're on the steroids at the start, you're hungry. So it was a little bit difficult because, again, I'm very type A. I want to do everything perfectly, you know. We're going to cut sugars. We're going to do this. But at the start, because of the steroids, I just wanted carbs. So it's, you know, if that's what I'm feeling because you are so nauseous, I will allow myself the carbs, but I would just look for the right ones. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that the fact that you were in a healthy place in your life that really supported you during and throughout your treatment as well. And I think that just goes to show that food can really be powerful and your lifestyle choices, you know, no matter where you are in your life, can really support you. So, yeah, I like that you made that mention. You did mention that supplements were a big part of your journey. Is there like a couple that really, really resonated with you that you found really supportive?
Again, I did like Mushroom Complex. Yeah. I found that really good. What else did I have? I'm just trying to think. All of the antioxidants. Black seed oil, so Nigella sativa. I'm pretty passionate about that. I was using that before because it helped with my thyroid and cholesterol, and I continued using that because us Muslims believe, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said black seed oil is the cure for anything apart from death. So I was like, yeah, sign me up for that. I'll give that a go.
Give me all the some of that stuff.
Literally. I know I had a full list of us. I saw a lovely naturopath as well, and I got some herbs, mainly for supporting, you know, like liver clearance, because, you know, the drugs are pretty heavy.
Of course.
I think they're the main things that come to mind. But I had a whole pharmacy situation going on.
Oh, I bet you did. But, you know, I think it's nice to have that balance and know that you've got these beautiful, you know, nutritional based products that can really support your health during any phase of your life. So I guess moving away from the nutrition and the supplements and that side of things, what is your biggest lesson that you've learned from all of this? And, you know, do you look at life differently now? Has it given you a bit of a mindset shift in a way?
Oh my God, yes. Like my eyes are open. Mm-hmm. I can't see life the same way that I did. And for that reason, it sounds really weird, but I honestly feel like cancer was a blessing. A blessing that I was thankful to have got to the other side. But what have I learned? I've learned that it's not selfish to prioritize your health, and it is a darn sight easier to focus on prevention. You know, once you've got the sickness, you spend all of this like time, energy, and money to get your body back to balance. I just, you know, like a reason I share my stories because I am so young and I want people to be uncomfortable and I want them to take their health seriously, especially mums. What really gets me like emotional is thinking about the amount of women that it's happened to. They were breastfeeding or they were pregnant, or, you know, if they've got hormone positive cancer, they go to their surgeon and they're told, I don't want, you know, it's not recommended for you to ever have children. Like there's just so many layers upon layers. So I think the big thing is just prioritizing your health, and it's a kind thing to do for yourself, for your family, for your community.
Prevention.
And just look at the small stuff, because like, just because I had a cancer diagnosis, and cancer's scary because it can shorten your life. You could get hit by a bus. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, that was the wake-up call that I needed to be like, okay, am I living the life of my dreams? And, you know, what areas do I need to reevaluate? But none of us know how long we're going.
I think it's, I don't know, I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm really, I ask myself that all the time, like, you know, you could not be here tomorrow. Anything could happen. We don't have control over really anything. So are you doing what makes you happy? Like, is this the path that you want to go down? And I think constantly stopping and asking yourself that question, because we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. Like, we get so caught up in, you know, we need to work really hard and we need to do this and we need to get to this next stage. But sometimes when we stop and reflect, we're like, hold on a second, is that what I actually want? Is that actually making me happy? And if something terrible was to happen tomorrow, would I, you know, would I be proud of that life, I guess? So I think asking yourself those questions in every part of your life is really important.
And I think don't wait to be happy. You know what I mean? Like, the journey, all of it like that. Your life is now. Your life is in this moment, not when you get to that point. So, you know, like being happy and like thinking things are hard is always a choice.
I love that. I love that so much. So I have to ask, where are you sitting right now with your health? Because it's been just over a year.
Yeah, so I had surgery in October. I was literally sitting there on my birthday after, like, post-surgery in all of the pain. But basically what happens is I had a single skin-sparing mastectomy with lymph node clearance. And they take all of the stuff and then they test it. And then I see the surgeon a week later. And she basically says if there's cancer there or not. So I remember I saw them and they were like, how are you going? I'm like, it depends. Just tell me. Like, just, you know, rip off the band-aid. And she was like, you have, like, basically what cancer patients dream of, complete pathological response, which means, you know, complete response to the treatment. There's no cancer visible. And I was hoping for that. And I had a good feeling about that because on my husband's birthday last year, which was like July, so early on in the game, I had an ultrasound. And this was after I had the Red Devil chemo. And she was going over my boobie and she was like, we can't see it. She literally had to get her supervisor in. And they were both like, whatever they saw, we cannot see. So even my surgeon was like in tears when like we got that news. So I was like, okay, I hope, you know. But yeah, hearing that. So I don't think it's classed as remission, but I'm just saying I don't have cancer in my body anymore. So yeah.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's clearly working.
Yes, more of that, all of the
absolutely.
Things.
So. That makes me happy. So I would love to ask, do you have a message for young women about maybe why we need to take our health a little bit more seriously and listen to our gut?
Well, yeah, I think I'm living proof of it. So like I was right on the cusp of things with my cancer scare. I'm very thankful, very, very grateful that mine was treatable, but I know not everybody gets that lucky. So, you know, don't delay. Advocate for yourself. If something doesn't feel right, you know, please go get checked. If you don't gel with the doctor, you know, if you don't feel heard or supported, like it's okay to get a second opinion. I think I don't know what else to say. It's just I don't think I would be here with, you know, no cancer in my body if I hadn't have gone when I did. So
it's yourself. You specialize in women's health. So for anyone listening who would love to connect with you or just learn a little bit more about your journey and follow you throughout this, where can they come to find you?
Yes, so I'm pretty active on Instagram. That's probably the best place to find me. I do a little bit of Facebook, but it more flows through a little bit of TikTok. I shared my story on TikTok and it's all Angelica_Hazel_nutrition. I specialize in women's health and fertility. I got my master's in reproductive medicine a couple years ago. I mainly support individuals through the Metabolic Balance Program, which is a great preconception program. I have a program coming, well, actually it's like a hybrid model of Metabolic Balance coming up in, what month are we? March. In April. So that's really exciting. I guess the other thing is, like, all business things aside, if any woman is, you know, going through cancer, you know, maybe if they've got a cancer scare or a diagnosis and they just want someone to talk to that knows what it's like, who gets it, like, my DMs are always open.
You're amazing. Thank you so much for coming on here, sharing your story with us all, and just spreading that positivity. So I could just feel it. Like, you just radiate this most beautiful energy. So thank you for sharing all of that with us. And I'm so happy to hear that you are currently not, you know, no cancer in the body. And I know that with that mindset, with that positivity, yeah, you've got so much goodness ahead of you. There's no doubt. So I will pop all of your details in the show notes and on social so everyone can come and find you. But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure. And I feel like I can't take all of the credit. I got through it because I had a community of like beautiful friends and family supporting me. So yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody and thanks to you for having
me on. All right, guys, if you loved this episode, please go ahead and leave us a nice review, share it on your stories and show some love. It means so much to me. That is all for today. I will see you back here for another mood boosting episode. Sending so much love to you all. And don't forget, you have the power to boost your mood. It's all in your daily routines. So go make today a good day. Bye. Mwah.